Hello, and welcome to Witchy Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Danae Sweet, and this is episode 20. Holy hell. Today, I'm going to talk about the Wheel of the Year, Sabbats, Esbats. My hubby is coming on to play a little game with me. And we're going to talk about a book list. But first, I want to get into this game with my husband. Okay, this time I've got Brad with me. Say hello.
Hello, everybody.
I thought it would be fun for him to do a little game where I tell him or the name of one of our Sabbats, and he tells me what he thinks it's going to be.
It's going to be a train wreck. That's what it's going to be.
Probably. Okay, so I'm going to start out with Yule. We'll give you an easy one.
Oh, yeah. Let's see, that has to do with it's not Christmas now, but it's...
No.
Yeah, it's something to do with that holiday or...
Okay.
Whatever, if I remember right.
Okay, so it's a Christmassy holiday.
Well, Christmas stole it from...
Yes, exactly.
The other people back in the day.
Yes. Okay, I'm gonna call that a win.
Yeah.
the next one, So, I'm going to probably pronounce this one wrong, but I always pronounce it Imbolc.
Imbolc?
Yeah. What do you think that is?
Oh, good God. I have no idea what that would be.
So it's February 1st.
Okay.
So, that's an idea of,
you know. Yeah. Sort, not really.
No idea whatsoever.
I don't know what that would be at all.
Okay, that's all right. So we're not gonna give you that one.
You're not gonna tell me what it is?
Oh, I'll tell you what it is. So it's the time where we celebrate the midway between winter solstice and spring.
Dude, I totally was going to say that, too.
You should, say what you think.
I'm like, yeah, it's coming up on the spring solstice, all that halfway point, I guess.
It's also called Candlemas, or Candlemas.
Oh.
Okay. Ostara.
Oh, man, I've heard you talk about it. I should know more, but I just overhear.
Okay, it's typically celebrated on March 20th.
Well, that's got to be the spring solstice, I would imagine.
Spring equinox.
Your equinox,
yay.
Yes. When I like to balance your broom.
Yes, brooms, eggs, we do all that. Yep. Okay, cool. Okay, Beltane, which is May 1st.
Oh, man, that's basically like the modern day May Day.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the sexy holiday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's we celebrate like everything reproducing.
The mbop.
Good God, you called it the mbop. Oh my God. All right.
Well, I mean.
Right.
I want it to be different than bow chicken wow. Like mbop.
Mbop. That works.
Yes, I don't know.
How about Litha?
Litha?
Mm-hmm.
When is it?
To this year, it's, I think, June 22nd, but celebrating anywhere between June 19th and June 22nd.
That'd be the part of the summer solstice, I'd imagine.
Yes. Yep, it's summer solstice, so right. We're celebrating that. Okay,
Celebrate some warm weather, hopefully.
Right.
Tired of cold.
Word. Llamas. Is next. There's another way.
Is it spelled with two L's?
It's one. But this.
Llamas.
Yes. The other way to. There's another name for this, and I'm going to try to say it. Lugnasa. Yeah, I'm saying that totally wrong. I just murdered it because I always have been called in it llamas. So.
I like Lugnasa.
Yeah. So what is that one, do you think?
I don't know. I got to know what day it is. Give me an
August
idea.
August
1st. August 1st?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That's too early for fall, isn't it?
It's kind of. It's getting there.
Close?
Mm-hmm.
It's my mom's birthday. I can start calling her birthday Lugnasda.
Lugnasda. Good God. Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's another cross quarter day, so it's the halfway
point, half of summer.
Yeah, it's the first. They call it the first harvest. So it's the So it's the first one. So
I see. Yeah.
Mabon, which is September 22nd.
That would be fall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a fall equinox. It's another. It's the second feast.
Right.
So the second harvest. And now Samhain, October 31st.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'd be your, well, that's Halloween.
Well, yeah.
But something else other than Halloween?
Yeah. That's the Muggle word for it.
Well, yeah. Whatever. Yeah, I don't know. That's not halfway, is it?
It's the last feast. It's also the day that, we observe our ancestors. We celebrate our ancestors, and it's the last harvest festival.
Before
so that's the
everything
last harvest.
Dies.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
So it symbolizes everything dying and a new cycle beginning.
Right.
So it's often called the Witch's New Year.
We celebrate calves leaving.
This is true around here. All the calves go. Bye bye.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think you got all of them but one. Right?
Well,
sort of.
Yeah.
Have you seen me? I don't even know if you notice when I do celebrate things.
No, because you don't really celebrate things.
I do it in private.
Well, yeah, so it's pretty hard for me to see you celebrate something in private.
This is true. But I just wondered if you noticed.
Hey, everybody, I'm behind this. No, because you're always doing stuff on your computer anyway, so it's just like you're in there doing your thing and.
It's going to be different now that we're moved into the house because I have no privacy.
Yeah, but I'll be outside.
This
so.
Is true. And I have a badass she... It's going to be a badass she shed when we get done with it. It's going to be awesome.
When you...
When I get done with it. Once we coat it in the...
I quit.
In the first layer of glitter and sparkles.
Whatever you're doing there. Once it's full of glitter, I'm not going in it. After what happened to me and the glitter when moving...
Oh, that was awesome. He was moving a whole box full of my craft shit, and the wind came up, and glitter went
in
his beard.
Yeah, it was a fucking glitter blizzard.
It was in your beard, in your hair, it was on your face.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible.
It stayed.
Yeah, glitter sucks. I hate it.
I love glitter.
It's so stupid, though. It sticks to everything.
It does. Molly calls it craft herpes, because...
Yeah, she's very correct. Once you get it, you can't get rid of it.
You can't get rid of it. You have it.
You're done.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And then it'll just pop up when you least expect it to.
Yep.
Sorry to all the people that suffered from that.
Yeah. We're not making light of something, but
no.
It's hilarious when it comes to glitter.
Yes, absolutely. Jesus, Murphy.
Well, thank you. Thank you for playing my little game. I thought it would be interesting for you to... To hear the words and see what you thought about them.
Yeah, like just when you just put me on the wheel and spin it. So I
it's
can be like, oh.
This is called, I have a short episode and I need more content, so I'm dragging my poor hubby into my podcast world.
Well, yeah, and that's fine. It just, I don't care.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. I want to thank my... amazing hubby again for coming through and being on the podcast and being put on the spot. I really do appreciate you more than words can ever express. All right, so let's get back to the episode at hand. So I've had a lot of people text me and PM and comment a lot about beginner witchy stuff, like the holidays and, you know, when we do things, when we don't do things. And I thought it'd be kind of cool to do an episode that was just like witchy shit 101. And I thought I would start out with the wheel of the year and sabbats and esbats. And to start out with, I thought I would talk about just kind of go down all of the pagan holidays. So there's 8 pagan holidays or sabbats that we celebrate. And the representations of basically the start of each season and midway points in between them. They're split very evenly throughout the year, and most of the names and the actual celebrations have roots in the Germanic traditions and Celtic traditions. Some of the dates of these sabbats are going to vary from like 3 to 4 or 5 day range, And so these dates are different depending on where you get your information. Also, I'm talking about the Northern Hemisphere today. So the dates and things that are going to correspond are going to be Northern Hemisphere. But if you live in the Southern Hemisphere, the dates will be different, but the actual holidays, they're going to be the same. There's going to be the same meanings, the same cycles, that sort of thing. I want to first say that I'm not Wiccan. I'm an eclectic witch. I don't follow any specific tradition. I grab what resonates with me. So some of these holidays can be celebrated differently depending on what tradition that you follow. So I'm sorry if I mess up and I don't actually get part of what you do on that day because you're a certain tradition and I'm not. I'm really sorry. I'm trying not to exclude anybody. So this is just going to be like a down and dirty list of all of the Sabbats. Okay. So we got Yule or winter solstice, and that for us is December 21st typically, but it can be arranged from like the 19th to the 22nd. And on this day, it's the shortest day of the year. It symbolizes when the god is reborn at Yule, having died the previous Sabbat, which would have been Samhain. So this is a celebration where you see, you know, you burn the Yule log. It's a fire celebration. There's feasting and a lot of gratitude involved in that holiday. So then the next one we have would be Imbolc. It can also be pronounced Imbolg, sorry, like I-M and then leave the B out and Olg. So these are all, it's kind of weird to say them out loud because I don't normally. So if I mess up these pronunciations, I'm very, very sorry. I'm a solitary practitioner, so it is what it is. Okay, so during Imbolc, the second turn of the year, that celebrates the coming end of winter, and it symbolizes the growing cycle that's going to come. It's a cross-quarter day, meaning that it's a midway between winter solstice and spring equinox. It's also known as Bridget's Day, Candlemas, Feast of Torches, and for Muggles, it's Groundhog Day. During this time, the god is developing and his power is increasing. He's maturing. So he was a little baby at Yule, and now he's getting older. The goddess is right now in a slumber, basically. She's recovering from birthing her child at Yule. And she is going to be stepping into that maiden role after this holiday. So the next one is Ostara. Ostara is March 20th. That's the spring equinox or the vernal equinox. And the date ranges for that are the 19th to the 22nd. And this is all Northern Hemisphere, remember. This is the moment of exact balance between the light and the dark. It's an amazing holiday. It's the day where you can balance eggs and you balance your broom and it stands upright. Everything is equal on this day. And so the sun is out more, you have longer days, and that growing daylight symbolizes or is the god moving from being a baby to being a mature being. And also the earth is waking up. It's getting warmer, and the goddess is now coming into her full power in that maiden form. Beltane, that's next. Beltane is May 1st. Beltane is the transition from spring to summer. Beltane is the sexy Sabbat. It is when we celebrate the fertility of the earth, the fertility of all the wildlife and the livestock. It's a sensual Sabbat. Some of the traditions perform or participate in what is called the Great Rite on Beltane. And what that is the symbolic reenactment of the god and the goddess having sex, they coming together and becoming one. So that symbolizes that they've reached their full maturity. All right. And also, it's not like you have to do the Great Rite. The Great Rite, I think, scares a lot of people off. They're like, oh my God, I have to pretend to have sex with somebody in front of all my, you know, peers. That's something that I read about. I've never actually even met anybody that has done the Great Rite or seen it done. It's just something I have read in books. So don't let that scare you off if you are a baby witch. Okay. The next one would be Litha, and that's June 19th to the 22nd. That is summer solstice. So we're at midsummer. It's the longest day and the shortest night of the year. Right at this time in the wheel, the goddess is now pregnant with child. The god is at the very tippy top of his virility, and he's in full power. The goddess is bringing forth all the harvest and abundance for the year. She has brought the earth to that point where everything is blooming and budding, and it's lush. The next one is Lammas, and I don't know how to pronounce the other one. It's Lugnasa, I think, but I'm sorry if I said that wrong. So that's August 1st. I call it Lammas, so I don't have to say the other word. August 1st, we celebrate the first harvest. It is a big celebration of gratitude, and it is the first harvest celebration. My dog is growling, and I can't get him to stop, and I have stopped and started this freaking recording a billion times, so I'm just going to keep rolling with it. So if you hear my dog growl, sorry, he thinks there's something in the corner of this room that there's not. So anyway, back to Lammas. It's the cross-quarter day between summer solstice and autumn equinox, meaning it's the midpoint. And that marks the beginning of all the harvest seasons. And the deity part of this, it means that the god's power is starting to wane. So the days get shorter, the sun is not out as long, the god's power is getting less and less. The next is Mabon, and that's September 22nd. That's a fall equinox. So this is the second day, or the second feast or harvest celebration. And at this one, it's the autumn equinox, and everybody gathers and celebrates their harvest from the year. And when we talk about harvest, you know, back in the day when all these traditions were formed, it was the literal harvest. It was the grains and bread, you know, everything that you can make food from. Now, it doesn't have to mean that for you. It can mean all of your hard work all year. So we plant the seeds of intention in the beginning of the year, and towards the end, you're starting to see the fruits of your labor, whether that's with your family, your personal evolution, your spirituality. Maybe it's your work. Maybe you've really worked hard at a promotion and you're starting to see the fruits of that coming into fruition. During this, it's just a big pagan party where everybody eats a lot of food. The last one I want to talk about is Samhain, or All Hallows Eve. Sometimes it's referred to as the Witch's New Year. This is when at this time of the year, the veil is the thinnest between our world and the dead. On this day, we honor our ancestors and we honor those loved ones that are deceased. And also our familiars. I think a lot of times we forget that we have familiars that have passed on, and we can totally honor those on that day too. I usually set out a picture of like my pets on my altar that have passed, along with my family and my ancestors and friends that have passed. This is the third and final harvest celebration of the year. It marks the end of the growing season and the beginning of winter. So right now, as far as the deities go, the god is retreating down into the shadows. He's kind of retreating and falling back, and it's also symbolically the earth is going into its dormant state. So all of the plants are going to die. It gets brown out. There's no more green, lush anything. Everything is dying. So then it just starts over, and with the rebirth at Yule and the beginning of the next season. I hope that wasn't too quick or too short. I really wanted to get just kind of this is what it is. You can totally look these things up one by one and find out all the correspondences. I didn't want to do an entire episode of each tiny detail from each Sabbat, because that would be like a 4-hour episode. I think maybe I could do a Litha one, because that's coming up, but as for each one in one episode, I think that would be ridiculously long. Also, I wanted to mention that these 8 holidays can be divided into sun and moon Sabbats. So the sun ones would be Yule, Ostara, Litha, and Mabon. The moon sabbats are Imbolc, Beltane, Lammas, and Samhain. So that divides all of the sabbats into two sets of four according to the seasons and the moon. I think that's just really cool that it does that. Next, I want to talk about Esbat. Esbat is when every 4 weeks we celebrate the full moon. So we celebrate the goddess, feminine, divine on the full moon. And these, I want to liken them to being like the second wheel of the year. It's the feminine counterpart to the eight sabbats. The eight sabbats is the journey of the sun and the god through the seasons. And the traditions are going to vary in defining what an Esbat is. So Esbats can be, traditionally they were a celebration in your coven. So the coven would meet and have an Esbat, meaning they would meet and celebrate the moon together. So there's tons of us that are solitary. I do Esbats by myself. That's fine. Some people celebrate the full moons only. Some people celebrate the new moons only, and some do both. I am one that does both. I love the moon. I think I connect more with the moon than anything. So I tend to do a lot of moon magic and moon rituals, because those are the times when I feel the most in tune and magical. I really hope that this kind of helps you guys out and gives you a little starter, I guess. So that way you can see that there's a cycle to everything, that all of these celebrations that we do, there's a reason behind it, and it all mirrors exactly what is going on in nature in the seasons. That's just one of the reasons, or one of the things I really like about this path, is that everything has this duality, this reflection of the divine and the earthly. I find that very comforting, that there's balance. Okay, so if anybody has any questions about this, please, please feel free to reach out. Hit me on Instagram. You could get me on Twitter or email me. All those things will be in the show notes and also in the blog. So please click the link to the blog, because I write a hell of a lot better than I can speak. So I actually wrote a blog and have all the information, the quick and dirty, about all of these sabbats and the Esbats, and it makes a lot more sense on paper than when I'm saying it out loud for some reason. So check that out. It can be a reference for you to look back on. It's got the dates and things like that. There goes the train. I cannot get rid of that train in the audio, and I'm so sorry that you have to hear that wah, wah, thing all the time. I am not the best at audio editing yet, so I am learning. Please be gentle. Okay, it doesn't seem like it to you, but I've been sitting here for 5 minutes or more waiting for that train to pass. For some reason, this particular conductor decided to, like, lay on the horn extra, extra long, so I just decided, screw it, I'll take a little break. Okay, I also wanted to do a book list. A lot of you have been wanting to know what books to read, and I am a freaking book nerd. So I thought I would, I have a list of like some of my favorites and the most useful ones that I have. I have tons of books. I kind of collect them. It's my thing. But I want to start out with anything by Ellen Dugan. Her books are well written. They have fabulous tips and recipes and rituals. They're just great. So two books in particular that I have that I love from her are Natural Witchery and Book of Witchery. Both of those I reference a shit ton. So I definitely recommend that one. Another one would be, it's a Wiccan book. I'm not Wiccan, but I love some of their more elaborate things that they do, because I don't know, I'm just extra. So I have this book called The Circle Within, and it's a Wiccan book by Diane Sylvan. That one has a lot of the traditional ways of doing things in it. So it kind of helps guide you along and help you create your own Wiccan tradition. I really liked that one. Another one is Day by Day Wicca by Tabitha Jennings. And that one really, really it's kind of like a daily to-do list. So it gives you things to do each day and help you learn how to incorporate you know, this path into your daily routine. So I really like that one. It's a short one too, so it's not going to take you 2 months to read it. Another one that I really enjoyed, but might not be a beginner type witch book, but it's called The Deviant Grimoire by Michael Blackthorne and Blythe's Spirit. It's fabulous. It's thick. It's huge. It's got a great cover on it. It's got all these cool rituals and spells in it that maybe aren't as nicey, fluffy, white bunny stuff that you see. It's got some of the other stuff. So I really, really liked that one. I also always get the almanac from Llewellyn. I have the Sabbat almanac, and I really, really recommend that one. That takes you all the way through the Wheel of the Year and has a little bit about each Sabbat and how to celebrate it, and I just really like that one. The last author I want to talk about is Erin Murphy Hiscock, I think is how you spell it. It's Erin Murphy Hiscock. She wrote The Way of the Hedge Witch, was the first book I got by her, and it's fabulous. It, like, walked me through all these things that I can do to bring magic into my home, and I really, really enjoyed that. She also is the author of the popular books right now, The Green Witch, The House Witch, and The Witch's Book of Self-Care. I have all three of those, and they are amazing. I've read them all more than once. I reference them a lot in my daily practice, so I definitely recommend all of those. I have to admit, my very, very first book about any kind of witchy anything was a book I snuck. So I walked into Barnes & Noble one time when we were on like a school trip. We were allowed to go to the bookstore, and I picked up Silver Ravenwolf's To Ride a Silver Broomstick. It was my first and my favorite book for freaking ever. I got it in the early 90s. I like had a waterbed at the time. If you've ever had a waterbed, it's like got the panels that go all the way down to the floor, and it's hollow inside. And mine had some drawers underneath of it. So what I did was pull out one of the drawers all the way, stick the book inside of there, and shut it so that when I needed it, I had to take the drawer all the way out. But it was my way of hiding my witchy shit from my parents. But that was my first book, and I felt so, oh my God. I read that thing, and, you know, a lot of those things I probably don't follow now, but that book opened me up to so much information. I after that book, there was just a plethora of books. Anything I could get my hands on as soon as I would get to a large town. So, mind you, I still lived in, I grew up in this tiny-ass town of, like, 200 people. So we would have to go, like, 3 or 4 hours to get to a mall or get to a place where there would be a Barnes & Noble. And that was, like, my favorite thing. Like, everybody wanted to go to the mall. I wanted to go to Barnes & Noble. So we would go there, and I would pick up those books. So even in high school, I was hoarding these witchy books, kind of hiding who I was. I was always weird, and I was different, but that was the beginning of my path. And when I got into college, I used computers more, and I was able to use some of the chat forums that they had, like AIM and ICQ. I also used MySpace IM, and the Yahoo Groups was one of the biggest platforms for me in connecting with other witchy people. Back then, you didn't have all the access that we do now, so I hate to sound like an old timer, like, oh, back in the day, blah, 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 but it was like that. We had to get information where you could, and Yahoo Groups for me was pretty big. I could connect with groups of people that were like me, that were stuck in the middle of nowhere, that wanted to learn more about pagan traditions, witchcraft, witchy shit, and had no way to do that other than books, in the occasional website that you would come up on. And oh my God, the websites back then. I don't know if anybody remembers them, but I would type in like witchcraft and, you know, spells, and it would come up with these websites that at the time were just like the coolest thing I'd ever seen. They were like, the backgrounds would look like a celestial sky, like scene with all the stars and stuff. And then the like animated, icons and stuff. It was, I don't know. And then there was music, always music playing in the backgrounds when you would go on these sites. But those were very few, and not a lot of information was on those, and what I really, really craved was connecting with people, and the only way I could do that was to get on Yahoo groups and start chatting with people. I would connect with them, and then we would chat online using the old chat platforms of the day. So, if you are of this generation, count yourself lucky, because I would have loved to have all this information at my fingertips like I do now. Like, right now, if I just want to look up a recipe for a sabbat, or if I need help with some kind of incantation that I'm trying to make and need some ideas, I can just get on the internet and get one and it's done. And that's not the way it used to be. So I am very grateful, like so appreciative for technology, for the people that put themselves out there to network. Even back in the day when I was young, there was not very many, but the people that I did connect with made me feel like I could own my own magic, that I could be the kind of person that I'm trying to be. I'm trying to walk that magical path, and they gave me that confidence to do so. So thank you to all of you way back then that took the time to talk to somebody with the handle. Okay, so I remember, I think my Yahoo handle was Daisy D, because my cat's name was Daisy and my name is Danae. So if anybody recognizes a Daisy D, that was me. Thank you very much for talking to me about your witchy path. So if anybody has any more books to share, I think we should. So I will start a book list thread on the Witchy Woman Friends group, and let's share all of our favorite witchy books. I cannot get enough books. I have a whole collection of them. I love, love, love getting the weird old ones. I've got some of Crowley's books and some it's Catholic possession, like the demonic possessions and how to get rid of them books. I love like the collector stuff. But if anybody has any fun books on witchcraft and Wicca and paganism, please let's share. I think that'd be really fun. Let's talk about how you can get a hold of me. If you have any questions or if you want to be on the show, please get me on email. You can email Danae@DanaeSweet.com. You can PM me on Facebook. You can go to the Witchy Woman Podcast page and PM me, or please join the group, the Witchy Woman Friends group. And that's where we talk about episodes, we post and share, and it's becoming a really fun space to ask questions and share your witchy life. You can also get me on Instagram, Witchy Woman Podcast. You can DM me there. You can always send me snail mail, P.O. Box 333, Hyannis, Nebraska, 69350. How else can you get hold of me? Oh, you can also comment on this on Podbean. If you're on a platform that allows you to rate and review my podcast, I would really, really appreciate it. The freaking internet and their algorithms love reviews and ratings, and that's how the podcast gets out there. So if you could do that, that would be awesome. If you can't, just share it. That would be awesome too. I want to thank all of the listeners, especially the ones that have been with me from the beginning when it was really, really not very interesting and I kind of sucked at it. I'm getting better. I don't say I'm great at it, but I am getting better. So thank you for hanging with me and for not being hard on my lack of editing skills or sometimes organizational skills too. I also want to thank my hubby for coming on and for helping me out with the podcast. He's always such a freaking good sport about it, and I do appreciate him more than I can ever, ever imagine. He is my best friend and my soulmate. So thank you, honey. I really appreciate it. Okay, so until next time, stay witchy. Bye.